see everyone tonight. We were leaving the building today, and when he said, just think, tonight, it'll be dark when we come back here. And I says, well, unless the Lord comes back, and then it'll be light all the time. That day is coming. I'd like for you to consider this question. Why does the New Testament stress these things? And it, in one way or another, we're just going to notice a few passages that represent each one of these points. But you know as well as I do that there are several passages that would address these points and complement these points as well. New Testament stresses the brevity of life and then death. James 4 and verse 14. Do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We're approaching that time of the year when you're going to be able to see your breath and you're going to be able to see the vapors coming out of the exhaust on automobiles and so forth. And it's just a vapor. It's there for a little while and then vanishes away. New Testament also stresses the afterlife. Perhaps one of the stories and one of the places where Jesus taught on this that is most impressive, I think, to me about the afterlife is he tells about Lazarus and the rich man. They both died. And the angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man found himself in torment. And he saw Abraham across and he asked that Lazarus might be sent to dip his finger in water and lay a drop of water on his tongue. And of course, Abraham explained that there's a great gulf fixed between us. No one from here can cross over to there, and no one from there can cross over to here. And you'll remember the rich man reflected on the fact and remembered that he had five brothers, and he requested that Abraham be sent back to warn his five brothers, lest they also come to that place of torment. And Abraham says, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he says, no, I think the rich men actually knew. They're not listening to Abraham and the prophets. But if one went back from the dead, they will listen. And Abraham, in essence, said, it's not in the man who teaches, it's in the word that he teaches. If Abraham went back, he could only go, or if Lazarus went back, he could only go back with the words of Moses and the prophets, what they have now. If they won't hear them, they won't hear Lazarus, even if one rose from the dead. The point, that there's several points, of course, that we can take from this passage and what Jesus relates to is here. But certainly, one thing that we see is that when this life is over for us here, we're not over. We continue to go on. Whether we be as Lazarus, who died in favor with God, who evidently had heard Moses and the prophets and had lived his life accordingly, he didn't have much of this world's goods, but he had his faith in God as it was delivered by the Word of God. The rich man had everything that his heart could desire, it seems like, but he did not have the true faith that was in God. Both continued on after they died, one in torment, the other in rest and peace. The New Testament stresses the second coming of Christ. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. We read, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. And I want you to notice here, and we've noticed from time to time, that whenever, whether it be Jesus or the New Testament writers, talk about Christians, Talk about those who died in favor with God. Those who heard and believed and trusted in God and lived to the glory of God. That when they die, they are not referred to as being dead. They are referred to as being asleep. As being in a place of comfort. Not a place of separate. Death implies a separation. They're not separated from God. In fact, their fellowship with God continues. And so, as we see here, I don't want you to be ignorant about our brethren who have died, but they've fallen asleep. They're not separated from God. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are asleep in Christ will be the first to rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Christ is coming again. We need to be prepared. Be in fellowship with him, not separated from him, but in fellowship with him in accordance to the good news of salvation that is available in him. The Bible, the New Testament especially, stresses the resurrection of Jesus. In John 5, in verses 28 through 29, Jesus said, "The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to a resurrection of condemnation." As Jesus rose from the dead, all who die will rise from the dead. Those who die in Christ will rise from the dead to life, to eternal life, never to die again. But those who have died being separated from God because of their sin will rise to a resurrection of condemnation, to be condemned to an eternity of separation from God and everything that is of God. The New Testament stresses that a judgment day is coming. John, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed to men once to die, and after this, the judgment." And it's not reincarnation. It's not some chance after. It's not, you know, Abraham even talked about when he talked to the rich man, he said, "Those who are where you are cannot come where we are." There's no second chance. This is our chance. This is our opportunity. "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." We'll find ourselves in one of two places thereafter, heaven or hell. Matthew 25, just one place where Jesus talked about this, verses 30 through 46. We read, "And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That which the rich man was experiencing. What he was experiencing in that holding place will be amplified for all eternity. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him." All nations present, all nations past, All nations that have risen, all nations that have fallen, all nations that have been long forgotten, and history is long forgotten, all nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. It won't be hard for him to make the judgment. You know, I don't know a whole lot about sheep. I mean, I can kind of tell there's different kinds of sheep. But I can certainly tell the difference between a sheep and a goat. This judgment is not going to be hard for God. It's not going to be difficult. We try to complicate things. We get ourselves all emotionally involved in it. And well, certainly this person will, I know what the rule is, but certainly this person will be an exception to the rule. There's no exceptions to the rule. God is a just God. He knows all things. He knows what we have done. He knew what we were going to do before we did it because he knew what we were thinking about. He knows the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. Everyone will stand before him and judgment will be made. It will be a judgment for him that is easy as we would separate goats from sheep. He will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But to those on the left hand, he will say, go away into everlasting punishment. The righteous will go into eternal life. These are serious subjects. They are the most serious subjects that we can contemplate. They are the most serious subjects that God would have us to be contemplating. Where are you going to be when you find yourself dead? When you find yourself in eternity, where will you be? Serious question. But because this world is not our home, for those who follow Christ, there's another serious question that we need to be considering. And that if we answer this question, the second question will take care of itself. I've enjoyed preparing the study for 1 Peter chapter 2, because it emphasizes these points. Where is your citizenship? Where is your focus? You know, we're thankful to be American citizens. It is the greatest civilization ever to come upon the earth. Because it is a civilization that looked to God's word for many of its laws and the conduct of themselves, the way we would govern ourselves, the way we would treat one another. So it's very unique in that sense. But because this world is not home for those who follow Christ, this is what we need to be thinking about. It's one thing to be thinking about where am I going to be in eternity, but it's more important to be thinking about where am I now as I'm living here on planet Earth. Where is my citizenship? I am on the earth, but being in Christ, I am not of the earth. Just as Jesus was on the earth, but he was not of the earth. And we say, well, yeah, that's true. Jesus, he came down from heaven. That's right. But he lived according to the will of his Father. He lived here, always focused on the will of his Father and glorifying his Father. He was on the earth, but he was not of the earth. And we are very much to be like that. I direct your attention to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 22 through 29, where he says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God." Zion, from its very beginning, was described as the stronghold of David. It was an area inside of Jerusalem that was the stronghold of Jerusalem. Jerusalem being the city of God and Zion being the stronghold of God. Zion became a type of heaven. Now, when you think about Jerusalem's stronghold being that area of Jerusalem, heaven is a place that cannot be conquered. He says, and you Christians, you Gentile and Jew, you have come to Mount Zion. The physical Mount Zion? No. But the spiritual Mount Zion. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels. What's he saying? You are in fellowship with God in the heavenly host. To the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men, I mean justified men who have been justified, made perfect. To Jesus, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and of the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. God had respect to Abel's offering. Why? Because it was what God commanded. It was an animal sacrifice. God was well pleased. He says, you have come to Jesus, the Lamb of God, whose blood was shed and has been sprinkled, separated to you. And as God was well pleased with Abel's sacrifice, he was well pleased with the blood of Christ. And he is well pleased with the fact that you have applied the blood of Christ to your sins. And they've been washed away. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. You remember the Hebrew letter was a letter that began by talking about God speaking at different times, in different places, in different ways. In times past, he spoke to men through prophets and through angels in various different ways, but has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He will continue that theme throughout the book of Hebrews. And how that Jesus is the lawgiver for us today. He is the one that we are to hear and to follow. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For the one who's speaking is Christ, of course. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Now, who is he particularly talking about that had spoke on earth? Primarily, he's talking about Moses. That Moses gave the law of God to the children of Israel. Children of Israel did not keep the law of Moses. They did not escape the judgment of God for failing to keep the law of Moses. If they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Yeah. God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Where is he? He's in heaven. How does he speak to us? He speaks through inspiring men, the Holy Spirit guiding men into all truth, and that being recorded for us for all time, guiding us into all truth, whose voice then shook the earth. What's he talking about? Mount Sinai. Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. What was that like? What did the people behold? The earth was trembling. There was lightning. There was thunder. It was something awesome to behold. His voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Referring to the prophecy of Haggai. And in this particular prophecy, he's talking about the fact that the temple is going to be rebuilt. God's glory would be filling that temple once again. But in this particular part of the prophecy, he's not looking at just the temple being rebuilt. He's looking at what the temple represents. That the temple was a type of the Lord's church that was going to be established. And the glory of God is going to fill the church of Christ, the kingdom of Christ. That's what he's talking about here. And Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. For now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Yeah? The Jewish way of life, the Jewish economy, if you will, was going to be removed. The Mosaic way of life was being removed. It had fulfilled its purpose. It was being folded up and put away. It was not meant to be permanent. It was meant to bring us to Christ. And having come to Christ, we're no longer under the tutor. There's shaking up going to take place, and this that is established now in Christ is established to never be taken away, to always be. That the characteristics of godliness that we are instructed in from the Word of God are characteristics that we will carry with us into heaven. If we are citizens of this kingdom, then we have learned godliness here so that we can be where He is. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Let us be in favor, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Just as Israel had received the law of Moses to be a unique people of God, citizens of the kingdom of God, they should have rejoiced and always preserved that citizenship. But they got to looking around at the nations round about them, and they said, we want to be kind of like them. We want to have a king like they have a king. We want to gratify the passions and desires of the flesh like they do. And they disobeyed God. And they paid the price for it. He said, they were just a type of the church. We need to learn from them. Don't make the mistakes that they made. Because as they experience the fact that our God is a consuming fire, we also will. If we take for granted His word, we take for granted His love, we take for granted His mercy, He will not be mocked. Our God is a consuming fire upon those who disobey Him and turn from Him. Those who have been called out of the world and have stayed out of the world will one day be called to heaven. This is a point that is expressed throughout the Bible, and especially throughout the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 14 through 17. He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle, whether we were present with you in person and you heard the words coming directly out of our mouth, or whether it be words that you hear from epistles such as this 2 Thessalonian letter, the 1 Thessalonian letter, or any of the epistles or any of the scriptures. Now, may the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope, by grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You keep doing what God tells you to do, what Christ is telling you to do, what the gospel is teaching you to do. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And so the question for each one of us tonight is, have I heard of the good news of salvation that's in Jesus Christ? Do I believe it to the point that I'll turn from myself and the pleasure of sin to practice righteousness and the pleasure of righteousness from this day forward to His praise and to His glory, while I embrace the citizenship in the kingdom of God while here upon earth to be translated into that everlasting kingdom hereafter? Are you a citizen of the kingdom? You can be. Say, well, how? Well, you're born into it. You must be born again. It's interesting. In our country, if you're born in our country, you are considered a naturalized citizen. And it's kind of that way with the kingdom of God. Say, well, how can I be born into the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Christ? You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins and rise to walk in newness of life. If you've done that, treasure your citizenship. Treasure your fellowship with God and always live to His glory. If you haven't done that, make your citizenship with Him this evening while you have the opportunity. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?